We thank God for the good book of Romans, a wonderful gift from God to the church and to agnostics of every kind. If you have uncertainties about God, you know, he reveals himself in the Bible. And Romans is the number one doctrine book of the Bible. Now, doctrine is God telling us about himself. So very, very important what God reveals in the book of Romans. Some old timers who were changed by reading Romans. Martin Luther was converted by looking at the passage we just read, even though he knew of church, God, prayers, Bible. He turned his life to God when he knew, oh, I trust God for righteousness, for faith, for salvation. And John Wesley also, similar experience. He was actually a clergyman, I think, and he read a commentary on Romans, and he said his heart was strangely warmed when he thought God would give the gift of salvation to John Wesley. So who knows, you know, might happen to you or I, that something in God's word will say, oh, he is great, and this is what he would do for me. And so other famous followers who made comments about Romans, Jonathan Edwards said, Romans tells us that we contribute nothing to our salvation except the sin that makes salvation necessary. And that's a humbling thought. You know, what do we contribute to our salvation? Well, we bring our sin. And the Lord brings himself to meet that problem. Luther went on to say about Romans, it's the purest good news. Learn it by heart, word for word. It's like daily bread for your soul. And the more you follow the truth, the sweeter it will be. I'm picking out some highlight verses from first five chapters in Romans. Some of these changed your life already and continue to do so, I know. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. Just what God would do for us through his sending of his son. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God, something we lack, for in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed from faith to faith. That's a big deal. Okay, that God would bring that to us. God's mercy leads to repentance. There's no one righteous, no, not one. You'll find in Romans the word righteous and righteousness a whole bunch of times. Something we don't have and God has to bring to us. You also find God and Jesus and the Spirit mentioned about between 150 and 200 times in one letter. So we know Paul was, he was very glad about Christ, not too excited about people. He knew we had the place of needing to receive what God would do. So the Christian life is what? All of Christ, none or little of you and I. A message in Romans, pretty important to get a hold of. And God credits righteousness apart from works. That's a big theme in Romans chapter 4 and 5. God is excited about works, but they're the fruit of goodness he brings. They're not the root. You don't base your salvation on works. Okay? You base it on the work of Christ. This is something that sets us free every day. So, life-changing things from Romans, just going through it in the next several months. Three parts of chapter 1 I want us to follow today are what Paul mentions. He prays, he participates, and he preaches. Something that you and I could do. The children down there in the children's church, they can do that. They pray, they participate, and they preach. Romans chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, Paul said, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is well known, and I remember you in my prayers at all times. Okay, so when in the great, somebody does that for you. When they think of you, they thank God for that person. And then they pray for you. Paul could hardly think of somebody without thanking God for them and praying for them. And you could do the same thing. You do that for your family. You know, you think, oh, there's my spouse, there's my grandma, there's my wife, there's my sons and so forth, aunt, uncle. Lord, thank you for them. And I pray for them, Lord. Help them follow you today. You could do that with a stranger. Paul did that to the church in Rome that he had not totally met yet. He hadn't even been there. So someday you'll say, you know, there's a church over in Sligo over there. And I think I know some people who live around there and might go there, but I thank God for that church in Sligo, or in Washington, D.C., as it were, in Rome. Now, Paul knew of people there. He mentioned about 30 of them at the end of the letter. Good sign of a heart for God is to know the people. 30 people. Can you mention 30 people in the next letter you send? You know, words of thanks, gladness. Some of you do that through the email. I was going to say the fancy email, but email, that's almost outdated now, right? Got the email, and then what comes next? Tweet, and then what's after that? But there's a text, and there's something even shorter. Come on, give it to me. Snapchat. Okay, the faster the better. I'm all for that. Gonna give you a Snapchat sermon in there. that'll be good. But Paul said what? He prayed for people. That's the point. I thank God for you, and I'm praying for you to do well. And God has sent you on a mission, you know. And this is Paul. He's a third missionary trip guy. This is his third missionary journey. So he writes to Romans in there. And he says, boy, I thank God for you. You could do this. And you could follow in Paul's steps. And then Paul participates. He wants to connect with the Roman people face to face, rub shoulders with them, you know, have some meals and so forth, worship together, pray together. And Paul said that I can bring a spiritual gift to you to strengthen your faith, but so that you and I could both get stronger. That's really good. Here's Paul, one of the strongest Christians around at that point, says, when I go to Rome and be with these Christians who I don't hardly know, I'm going to get stronger by being with them. And that's true about you, that you strengthen other Christians because of what God has done in your life so far. Even when you're struggling, you can strengthen others. Okay? As they see, oh, you know, God's sustaining that person and they're having troubles, but I know God will help them. That strengthens your own faith because you start praying for them. All of a sudden, your prayer life increases because you're praying for the one who's all in trouble. And I think of in my own life, I really have never met a Christian who has not strengthened my faith. Okay. You look for, you know, you don't say, I'm just going to hang around the Christians who are really, they know the Bible really, really good, and 90% of their prayers get a yes. So that's the ones I want to be around. No, you're strengthened by everybody in the body. Because you need your thumb and you need your toe and you need your ears and heart and eyes. So Paul says, I want to give and receive something from the people. He wanted to look out for them. They were looking out for him. And they were going to maintain growth. And remember, Paul was no party animal. Or social butterfly, chances are. He was probably a bookworm, you know. That's an old thing. He'd like to be by himself, write the letters, you know. And yet he said, I can do fellowship with God's help because I know I need that. Remember, he was a hard head and he was an accomplice to murder. But if God can have him like being together with others, he can help you like being together with others. So just go ahead and jump in there. In participation, you have something always to give and to receive in the body of Christ. And then Paul proclaims, he preaches good news of the gospel, that righteousness from God is revealed through faith. Okay. That's something different than what I've been hearing all these religions say. Religions say do, work, and then you'll be righteous. And Jesus said, you don't have any goodness of your own. I'll do for you. I'll give, and you receive, and then you'll live out the gift of goodness that I am giving you. So God is right. We are wrong. God offers us right character for our shaky character. God is righteous. We are all unrighteousness. And he offers his righteousness to us as a gift received by faith. Wonderful breakthrough. Someone said that there's only two religions in the whole world. One where God saves people as they trust him, and one in which everybody else tries to save themselves. Where is your heart? You can say, well, I trust Christ to save me and help me walk with him. Paul was all excited about the gospel. He said this. He said, three I ams. He said, I'm obligated, I'm eager, and I'm not ashamed. I'm obligated. He said, I have this responsibility to take this good news about God's goodness and what Jesus did to Greeks and Gentiles. That would be Greeks and barbarians, some versions. Okay, the Greeks were the ones in they were the AP classes for in life. Okay, they liked studying and they read books and everything else. The barbarians, they like to fight. Okay, and they like to be a rough and tumble crew. There's probably many barbarians in our soul, you know. They were the unwashed masses, gypsies, tramps, and thieves, I like to say. So you and I have a responsibility to take good news of Christ to all people, just like Paul did. To the very well-educated, to PhDs, and also to the ones they couldn't hardly get out of grade school. Or they were illiterate. Paul said, I'm obligated to both. I have that responsibility, and know that responsibility for your own soul, you know. God can use you to pass on good news like that. And then he said, I'm eager to do this. And he said, I'm not ashamed. And God is so gracious to use Paul like that. In reference to good news of Christ, good news of Christ's goodness. And I like this about the, you'll hear the word righteousness and gospel throughout the letter of Romans. One dear brother said this, the gospel about Jesus is not the beginning stage of the Christian life. Not the beginning stage. It's not the kindergarten of faith that once you're through the door of the gospel, you can safely leave it behind and move on to more significant things. Okay, that would be a mistake. Preach the gospel to your soul each day. Otherwise, you'll fall into legalism or license or some self-made spiritual quest. And I just say, do you find in your own soul a gladness, a contentment, a more and more amazement every day of what Jesus did for you? Or is it more like, okay, I gotta do better. I'll work, get my way to heaven if it's the last thing I'll do. Or is it like, oh, God forgives me, so I'm gonna go live like the devil. Or just make up something I think helps me feel good. But don't be ashamed of the gospel. The goodness from God is revealed through faith from first to last. And so we can say, Lord, I trust you. Lord, you died in my place. Lord, you raised from the dead, and I receive you. My faith is in you, my personal conviction, my confidence, and my commitment to action. That's just what faith is, not just, I think that's probably what happened, but Jesus happened to me. He happened to me. And as the old-timers would say, the gospel or the gift of God, receiving Christ, peace with him now and forever. It's by grace alone, a gift, through faith alone, how you receive it. In Christ alone, he's the only Savior. And from the righteousness of Christ alone. So God takes center stage in all aspects of our walk with Him, and what a wonderful thing. To illustrate this in closing, one story, if I could tell you, by John Winogren, who I never heard of until I heard the story he told. But I like the story, and you'll see the gospel in this for you. You'll say, this is what Jesus, this is how He treats me. This is the way He says it. He says, I saw something my street sense and my sly tongue had not prepared me for. One Friday morning, I noticed a young, handsome man, strong, walking through the alleys of our city. He was pulling an old cart filled with clothes. Bright and new clothes they were. He was calling out in a clear voice, rags, rags, new rags for old. I take your tired rags. Rags, he said. I thought, now this is a wonder. The man's eyes are bright and intelligent. And I thought, couldn't he find a better job than walking through the streets of the inner city as a rag man? So I followed the man. Soon the rag man saw a woman sitting on her porch sobbing into a handkerchief. Her shoulders shook. Her heart was breaking. The rag man stopped his cart. Quietly he walked up to the woman. Give me your rag, he said, and I'll give you a new one. He took the handkerchief from her eyes, gave her another one made of expensive linen. It was so clean and new that it shined. She looked up and blinked her eyes. She stopped crying. She looked from the gift to the gift giver. The rag man walked on. As he did, a strange thing happened. He put her stained handkerchief up to his face. Then he began to weep and cry as deeply as she had done. His shoulders shaking. And yet she was left without a tear. This is a wonder, I thought to myself. I will follow this sobbing rag man. Like a child, I followed him. Like someone who follows a mystery. Rags, he said, new rags for old. In a little while, the rag man came upon a young man whose head was wrapped in a bandage. Blood soaked where a wound was on his head. His eyes were empty. And a streak of blood rolled down his cheek. The rag man pulled his cart over and offered the man a clean new hat. Give me your rag, he said, and I'll give you mine. The injured man gazed at the rag man. As the rag man put the bandage on his head, I gasped at what I saw. Now the rag man was bleeding, and the soiled rag was on his head. And the man who was injured was now whole. The rag man went on. Rags, he said, new rags for old. There he went, the bleeding, grieving, intelligent rag man. He came on another man who leaned against a telephone pole. Are you going to work today, he said. Asked the rag man, do you have a job? The man shook his head no and said, are you blind? He leaned away from the pole and revealed his right sleeve of his jacket fell flat, tucked into his jacket pocket as he had no arm. So the rag man said, give me your jacket and I'll give you mine. He said it with such authority, the one-armed man took off his jacket. And so did the rag man, and I trembled at what I saw. The rag man's arm stayed in its sleeve. And when the injured man put it on, now he had two good, strong arms. The rag man only had one. Go to work, the rag man said. Now the rag man found a drunk in the alley, unconscious, wrapped in a blanket. He took the blanket on himself and left a new one, continued to pull his cart, now intoxicated, stumbling with drunkenness. One arm, bleeding, grieving, falling again and again. He kept going. Rags, he said, new rags for old. I wept about the rag man, yet I needed to follow him, seeing where he was going. The rag man climbed a hill. He looked very tired. He laid down and he died. How I cried to see that death. I had come to love that rag man. I laid down too and slept in sadness. I was so exhausted, I slept through Friday night, all day Saturday, and Saturday night too. On Sunday, I awoke, and there was light, pure and strong, compelling light. I blinked and I looked and I saw the best wonder of all. There was the rag man folding the blanket most carefully, a scar on his forehead, but alive, and besides that, very healthy. And there was no sign of hurt on the rag man. He shined with cleanness. I bowed my head and trembling went to the rag man. I stood next to him in guilt and shame. Then I took off my rags and gave them to him. I said with a yearning voice, "Would you clothe me in new rags?" And he clothed me. He put new rags on me. And now I am a wonder beside him, the rag man, the Christ. And God's word says, God made Christ who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that in Christ we might become the righteousness of God. And so we say, oh, we're so glad for the kind of goodness God can bring to our life. And we say with Paul, oh, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for in it a righteousness from God is revealed by faith from first to last. And we'll close in prayer. And just think of how God would like to bring some repairs to your soul through good news of who he is, what he does, and all the righteousness that is in him. Let's pray silently, please. Father, for the aches and pains of soul and body, we look to you and we say, we'll take your new clothes. We'll take your righteousness from God. And you just help each soul here in your good way to the areas of unhealth that you would point us to. Hear our silent prayers.